Geht es Ihnen? Gut, schlecht? It was good to see you. It's great to be invited back. You are all gluttons for punishment, I think, but I'm back again. And I really celebrate you all for your 165 years of ministry in the North Hills. In heaven, the angels are singing praises because of St. Paul's Evangelical Lutheran Church on Walters Road. I had a GPS from heaven and I put in Walter Road and I ended up by a dog park and I thought, St. Paul's is going to the dogs. But no, it's Walters, apostrophe S Road, so keep that in mind. And it's really great to be with you. And we need to celebrate by centering on God's Word every day in every way. So if you look at your bulletin, there's three powerful passages here from Holy Scripture that talk about what it means to be a Christian these days. One is in your first reading from the prophet Jeremiah, where he says there in the chapter 31, I will write it on their hearts, and they will be my people, and they shall know me from the least to the greatest of them, for I will remember their sin no more. This is what I tried in the Reformation. This is what we need to continue, that the Word of God is for all people, not just the Kyrie, not just the priest, not just the monks. The Word of God is for all people, and you all are the priesthood of all believers. The Holy Spirit's in your heart. What you need to do is read Scripture and pray and act on God's promptings in your heart. There's a wonderful, I have a perspective, like you guys believe in heaven and faith in God. I have been there for 500 years, so I know the place. And I want to tell you, I've met different people up there, especially I start liking the Jesuits, you know, St. Ignatius Loyola, who started the Counter-Reformation. I hated that guy when I was alive, but I'm in a Bible study with him in heaven, and he's really a good guy. And St. Francis Xavier, and especially Karl Rahner, who said that the true Christian of the 21st century will need to be a mystic. In other words, you are not just to know about God, to be able to repeat Scripture, that's all important. You need to know God in your heart, know the Holy Spirit in your lives, know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and from there you invite others and welcome others. So that's very important. The second important thing I want to point out is from Psalm 46, a great psalm, on which I based my hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. I was inspired by Psalm 46. And in Psalm 46, it says very importantly, be still and know that I am God. For the 21st century Christian, you need to find quiet time. You need to be still and have a contemplative, a quiet attitude that is open to God. Because in stillness and quiet, God comes to you. Remember Elijah says, it's a still small voice, not in the hurricane, not in the fire, in the still small voice God comes to you. So you know God in quiet. And you know Jesus Christ better as you read Holy Scripture with Lectio Divina. You read it slowly, you chew on it. You let it become real for you, the Lord Jesus in your life, and the Beatitudes and the Lord's Prayer becomes part of your life. So you need that for today's Christian living. Also, Romans. The just shall live by faith. It's a trust that this is true, that God does love you, which he does. I wish you were in heaven right now. You can see how much God loves you. All the saints just have big smiles on their faces. You know, all the pain and suffering, well, not all of the many that you have, the hate and pointing fingers and saying immigrants are bad. This is all baloney. All is love. All people are welcome in God's kingdom. And to have faith, let's trust this is true. Trust in the word. Listen to the word and trust in that word. And then finally, in our gospel, the powerful reading from John. That's my favorite gospel, John's gospel. And I'm glad, Carol, you're teaching that to your students here at St. Paul's Evangelical Lutheran Church. That is wonderful. And he says there, continue in my word. God communicates. Our relationship with God is a relationship. And the word is truth, and the word of truth will make you free. God's word is truth. Unfortunately, you live in a society where there's many, many words, and some people have intentional lies. Go back to the word. Look for the truth. The truth will set you free. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. And we know the truth is our Lord Jesus Christ. So, I have some very good questions from this congregation. And I appreciate that. One is from the only person that signed their name, little Journey. But Journey's not here. But she said, how old are you? On November 10th, I will be 536 years old. Now, I know I don't look a day over 535, but you know, but heaven's rejuvenating. It's better than ponds for your skin. The next question, Martin, what challenges do you face in your ministry today? And what do you believe will hold similar challenges in 2019? Well, I had many challenges. I was excommunicated by the Pope. Charles V, the ruler of the Holy Roman Empire, said I was a criminal. I had a price on my head. Anybody could hang me, stab me, poison me, kill me, and not be at fault because I was a persona non grata. So in my day, there was the Pope, was a problem because the Pope, Leo, was more of a Medici, a politician and a money grabber than a spiritual leader. And I think the Roman Catholic Church today would agree that Pope Leo was not the best Pope. So I had the Pope and his armies against me. The other were, after the Reformation, you had so much freedom and people were free, but some people took it to an extreme with the Holy Spirit. And they didn't base it on scripture or the church. I called them the Schwärmer, the Schwärmer. I said they were the ones that swallowed the Holy Spirit feathers and all. They thought that they had all the answers, and they were really radical. And you got from the Anabaptists, and people believed that infants can't be baptized, and only adults can be baptized. And you know, if you can just have inspiration, like you know, your gut will tell you what the truth is. You read the Bible, just get a gut feeling, rather than check it out with other Christians and the traditions of the church. So the Schwärmer were problems back then. And my own people. Sometimes, you know, I prayed, God save me from my enemies, but especially from my friends. Some of my friends were not easy to live with. And do you ever see that in the church? Sometimes people in the church aren't easy to live with. I don't know if you do, but I've seen that. But that's what practicing forgiveness and love is all about. Now, today, what's the main challenge? One of the big challenges today is being a Christian in a pluralistic world. When I was alive, I looked out and I saw a Christian neighborhood. They were all Christians. Now, some were Roman Catholic and some were Reformed and became Lutherans, but it was all one. Now we have Buddhists and Hindus and Jews. And as a Christian today, we need to show Christ's love. There's a wonderful saint in heaven right now, Mother Teresa of Calcutta. And she once said, I love all religions, but I'm in love with my own. Jesus Christ is Lord. But we can see Christ in the Buddhist, in the Jew, in the Shintoist, in the Taoist. Anytime good happens, there's a wonderful theologian that you had during World War II, now he's in heaven because the Nazis killed him, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He talked about the anonymous Christian, Christians that were following Jesus. They didn't know it. They didn't know it. So I had a pluralistic, you have a pluralistic world. You got to learn how to get along and to draw lines in the sand and say, this person's evil. This person's dressed different. This person speaks differently. They should go back to their own country. That's sin. That's of Satan. That's of the devil. Anybody who promotes that is demonic. Two, faith in Christ. That's a problem today, too, because look at the church. If people knew what was going on here, there'd be the church would be filled. There'd be people down, what's it called, Brandt School Road? No, that's not, that's the other church I was at. No, Walters Road. They'd be backed up all the way to the Northway Mall because they want to hear the word of God. They want to receive the sacraments. And it's becoming more secular. You know what the fastest growing group in America is today? Nuns. And not the ladies that dress like penguins, no. Nuns. These are the people that don't have any faith and any beliefs. And basically, they don't have any tradition, no anchor in this world where all the storms of life hit. You need an anchor. You need Christ. So, and also, we have a problem today with people that are Christian hucksters. Hucksters. They use Christ for money. They use Christ for their political goals. They use the Bible as a Rorschach test to read into it what they want to see and then proclaim that as the total truth. You need to do your homework. You cannot be lazy Christians. You need to read the Bible and talk to the people that are leaders in your church to help you learn the truth of the Bible. Anybody that says, like Jesus said, Lord, Lord, doesn't necessarily enter the kingdom of God. So there's still work to do as disciples of Jesus Christ. Next question. Martin Luther, if you were here today and the Lutheran Church, in fact, I am here today, you can see, was changing towards the Catholic, why would you have left the Catholic Church and made the changes you did? This is a big misunderstanding. I am an evangelical Catholic. I never wanted to leave the church. I am not a Protestant. I wanted to reform the church. Reform the church back to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Back to the good news of Christ in our lives. And in my day, there was a hierarchical view of the church, where you had the Pope and you had the Curie, the little guys with the little red hats, and then you had the priests and the monks, and you know, and the poor lay people were just second-class Christians. You had to go to the church to get all the church's God's grace. I said, no, you go to Christ directly, and the grace is yours. So I did not want to leave the church, I wanted to reform it. And we are not Lutheran. I said, why be called Lutheran? I didn't die for anybody. I didn't rise for anybody. I didn't save anybody. Who's Luther but a lousy, stinking bag of worm defecation? No, it's Jesus Christ who we follow. Jesus Christ who is the Lord and follow him. So I'd prefer us to be called evangelical Catholics. Evangelical, the good news of Jesus Christ. Remember on Christmas Eve? The Christmas Eve angels, I have good news of great joy for all people, for unto you is born today in the city of David, our Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Yeah, yeah, so do that. And also, too, would you have left the Catholic Church? No, if the Catholic Church had been in Vatican II in the 60s with a great pope, Pope John the 23rd, you would have probably the Franciscans and Dominicans and Lutherans all under the same umbrella. I wanted to reform the church, and I still do. I think what church I think needs reform today, most of all churches, the Lutheran Church. We need to continue to reform. In fact, in 2017, the Pope celebrated Mass with Lutherans to celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. That's big news. And guess what? The Pope Francis. I love the guy to pieces, he's great. He is concerned about the Catholic Church along the Amazon River. The Catholics there, because there are hardly any priests, they might not have communion maybe just once a year. So guess what he's thinking? A Lutheran thought, to let priests get married. Why should they suffer like me? I mean, no, I'm just kidding. But why should they not experience marriage in the fullness of life? And if that happens in the Amazon and the priest can be married there, guess what? It could have a ripple effect. So hold on to your seat belts in your pews. Something big's happening in this life. Okay, Martin Luther. That's me. In the Apostles' Creed, why did Jesus descend to hell? Was Satan in charge of hell at that time? In the church's year, and you don't celebrate it here at St. Paul's, but some churches do, there's Good Friday, we celebrate that. Easter Sunday, we celebrate that. But right between there is what's called Holy Saturday. And in the Catholic Church, that's called the Harrowing of Hell, where Jesus descended into hell and brought out Moses and Abraham and all the ones who died before him to salvation. What the church teaches is that there's no place you can be physically, spiritually, mentally, that Jesus Christ is not willing to go and to love you and to understand you and to forgive you and to give you fullness and wholeness of life. No place. And then Satan, there was a poet named John Milton who wrote Paradise Lost after I was dead in heaven. And he described Satan. There's not much about him in the Bible. The Satan or the devil is basically the prosecuting attorney in God's law court, trying to convince you to go a different way, to help you grow in your faith. But Satan is not powerful. The only way Satan can be powerful over people if you invite him into your life. And who would want to invite him into your life? Bless the fact, notice it's him, not a her. And also notice that Satan is a dour spirit. So if you're laughing, Satan can't be around you. If you're praying, Satan can't be around you. If you're worshiping God, Satan can't be around you. And you know what I said? We'll get rid of Satan? A good, healthy fart. So when my little boy Hans had gas, I would aim his little butt. I said, let Satan have it. Boom, 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 boom. Satan can't abide humor. Next question, is your guardian angel the same as the Holy Spirit? No. The Holy Spirit is the second part of the Holy Trinity. The Holy Spirit, the reason you're here today is because it calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole church on earth, you too. The Holy Spirit is God with you all the time. The guardian angel is that little part of the Holy Spirit that whispers in your ear, why don't you send her a card? Why don't you visit her? Why don't you finally forgive her for what happened 20 years ago? Or forgive him and work towards reconciliation. Work for peace. Work for love. Jesus said, you can't even hate your enemy. You have to love your enemy. So the guardian angel helps remind you of that. Okay, thank you for coming, Martin Luther, and your courage. I am very courageous, I am. To wear this, you have to be courageous. After being excommunicated and refusing to recant your beliefs before the Diet of Worms, it's Diet, not Diet of Worms, that's kind of gross. Diet of Worms. Worms is one of the oldest cities in Europe. Worms was there 1,000 years before Jesus Christ, so it's very old. That's where we had my hearing to recant my writings, because the Pope was angry because I was against the indulgence sales, and when I went against that, the German people went against it, and all of a sudden money stopped coming into the Vatican to build the Sistine Chapel. So, remember, always follow the money. Always follow the money. In politics or religion, you get to the truth. So that's what they did. And an act was declared that you were an outlaw, and they could you be killed by anyone without punishment. How did the threat affect you? Scared the heck out of me. I could be killed. In fact, at Worms, it was so scary because you had, like, at that time, the United Nations. And you had the head of the whole Holy Roman Empire, Charles V, who was only 20 years old. He was just a kid. And they had my books, and they said, recant. Say they're all wrong. We'll burn them. And I said, I cannot. I will not. My conscience is captive to the word of God. It'd be neither right nor safe for me to take back my beliefs unless I can be proved by scripture or plain reason that I am wrong. For I cannot accept the authority of the Pope nor the councils, since they have obviously erred. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. After that, Charles V put a price on my head, and I could have been killed. And I left, and I was afraid, and I was going back to Wittenberg. I didn't know if I was going to make it, and all of a sudden, these soldiers came, and they kidnapped me. They put a thing over my head I couldn't see, and I got to the Wittenberg Castle. And there, I was kept by Frederick the Wise to protect me from the evil from Rome, because he loved me. And I stayed there 9 months. During that time, I had constipation, I had boils, I couldn't sleep, I had insomnia. But other than that, I wrote the whole New Testament in 6 weeks. Six months. I had people go out and hear the people in the street. I wanted to translate from the original languages, from the Greek and from the Latin Vulgate into the language of the people. So when you read my Bible, you'll hear Joseph talking to Mary in the most beautiful German you'd ever want to hear. And it's that Bible was translated, and I was kept safe. But you know what happened? In Wittenberg, where the university where I taught, people start hearing of my, they thought I was dead, or they'd take my teachings, and they went crazy. And they went against it. They start breaking the stained glass windows. They start breaking into the monasteries and drinking all the wines for the monks. They start burning and looting and smashing statues of Mary. I couldn't take this, because my Reformation in Christ was peaceful. So I preached many sermons when I got back on why we need to work together to teach and educate people, not to have a revolution, but to evolve more and more in going back to the Word of God in Jesus Christ. So, that's some of the questions you asked. Now, I thought there's any spontaneous questions today. Have any from the congregation that didn't have a chance to ask questions? Yes.
What did your parents think of your Reformation? What did your parents think of your Reformation? Were they with you, or were they being ostracized by their neighbors?
I was a very bright student, very bright. And my father was a copper miner who was very successful. We were upper middle class, you'd say today. And he wanted me to be a lawyer, to get my law degree, and then help him in his business. So he sent me to the best schools. I was very sharp. I graduated college when I was only like 17 years old, and I got my bachelor's degree, I got my master's degree, and he bought me all the law books. Very expensive, because books were very expensive to print in those days. And yet, I still felt uneasy with God. And so one day I was going back from law school, and lightning and thunder, and it scared me, and I fell to my knees, and I said, "Help me, St. Anne, I'll become a monk." And St. Anne was the patron saint of miners. My dad was a copper miner, and she's also the mother of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And the lightning stopped, and I wasn't killed, so I decided I needed to keep my promise to God, so I went to the monastery. My dad was furious. He thought, "Oh no, because I wanted to have grandchildren, I wanted to have my son to take over the business and help me be rich." But when I was ordained and had my first communion, my father came to the monastery, gave money to the monastery, and still wasn't happy. But when I got married, I married for two reasons. One, to put my finger in the Pope's eye, and second, to please my father. It wasn't too romantic. But when I got married, my dad was a little more forgiving and happy, and he got to see, I had six children, but he got to see four of them before he died. And so we had reconciliation. Thank you for that excellent question, Mr. Lay Minister. Any other questions? Yes?
Do you have any siblings?
Siblings. Yeah, I had three brothers and a sister. But we don't know much about them because they weren't as famous as me. I had six children. I had three boys and three girls. One girl died at a year and a half because of the plague.
And one girl, Magdalena, died when she was 13 and just broke my heart. Elizabeth, my other daughter, she married and had 9 children. And my sons lived. My son died. Johan, Hans, and Martin Jr. So I was very proud of them. Any other questions? Yes?
So you talked about when you just went down to the house and you saw Moses and others.
Yeah.
Did Moses join him up in heaven when he rose?
Yes. It's universal. One thing I've learned from heaven that you need to remember. Your faith needs to have 4 things to know if you're in harmony with God. Every decision you make has to have these 4 things, okay? One is your decision has to be incarnate. In other words, Christ was born to Mary. Jesus said in Philippians, equality with God, no, St. Paul actually said this, equality with God is not something to be grasped, but Christ emptied himself. Became a servant of all. So it has to be incarnate. 2, it has to be agape. The force of God's grace has to be in you and through you. So anytime you have these thoughts of hate or whatever, no, that's not of God. God is love, it is a way of service, it's a way of making better, it's a way of bringing a cheer and a smile. Okay. The third thing is that it is universal. God's grace and gospel is for all people. And if you find Martians, it's for the Martians. And also for any people in the whole, or creatures in the whole cosmos. And 4, the energy always has to be for forgiveness and reconciliation and community. If it's not for that, it's my way is the best way, and you hit the road, that's of the devil, it's not of God. So there's 4 things. So, I don't know, what was your question? Well, yeah, Moses and those guys, they came up, right? And for Moses, we had Mogan David, and for me, we had Oktoberfest beer. There is beer in heaven. In heaven, there ain't no beer. That's not true. There is beer in heaven, and it's a lot of fun. But you don't need it, because you have the spirits in heaven, so you need to get drunk. Other questions? Yes?
A year ago today, Jewish church had a terrible incident. How can we help them, or how do you help the people that lost their families, and how do you reconcile all that hatred?
The first covenant, we have 2 covenants. First covenant's with the Jews, second covenant's the New Testament with us. So the Jews are very special. They are the chosen of God, just like Christians through baptism are chosen of God. And in this hate against any group, but the Jews through the years, it's a terrible thing. So the way to support, especially in Pittsburgh, is to pray for our Jewish brothers and sisters, maybe go to one of their celebrations, to speak a good word for our Jewish brothers and sisters. Speak a good word for anybody, because hate can start any place. It's like a cancer, it grows and grows and grows. But to show a different way, a way of love, forgiveness, speaking truth to power, when the power forces are lying and causing divisions, say, thus saith the Lord, you know. But even then, you do it in love. That's the hard part. It's just, it must be done in the Holy Spirit. But yeah, and it has to be a way of life. It's not just when tragedy happens. You know, it has to be always. We work for love and peace. One of the wonderful people from your Pittsburgh area that we're in heaven, I love the guy, Mr. Rogers. Watch Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. You'll get a lot of hints how to do this. And then the church. The church is a good experiment for how to live together in love. Okay, thank good question. And very apropos, because it happened a year ago. You know. Any other questions for Dr. Martin? Well, it was a pleasure being here, and I know you want to get out of here before 1:00. Although your Pittsburgh Steelers don't play until Monday night football, so you don't have a lot of time, but thank you for inviting me. Always remember, keep your eyes on the prize, Jesus Christ. Follow him, be a disciple. Show people that as Christians, there's a different way of living, a good way of living, a loving way of living, and continue in God's word. Auf Wiedersehen, thanks for the invitation. Your pastor, every time I come here, he's not here. Doesn't he work? I mean, look.
I said, tell Pastor Schenker I said hi. God bless. I'll see you in a second.